Are you a leader or are you a follower? Are you a leader or are you a follower? Christianity, perhaps as much as any time in the past, we are in desperate need of leaders. We are in desperate need of people who will lead and influence other people for the Lord Jesus Christ. God is looking for what I call legacy leaders who will help other people live completely for Jesus Christ. What is leadership? Well, to boil it down, it's simply influence. When you influence someone, you lead them. And everybody in this room influences someone in some way. So every one of you at some level is a leader. How are you leading people for Jesus? God wants you to be a leader who leaves behind a legacy of helping other people live completely for Jesus Christ. So many people today don't want to lead. They just want to go with the flow. They just want to do what everybody else does, say what everybody else says, think what everybody else thinks, act like everybody else acts. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "A genuine leader is not a searcher of consensus, but a molder of consensus." What he's saying is there, Christian leaders don't just look around to see what's going on and then act accordingly. Rather, Christian leaders make things happen. I want to encourage you today to be like the Apostle Paul. He was a legacy leader. We're going to look today in our pathway through the book of Acts at a text of Scripture where Paul is basically ending up part of his ministry. He's come to the close of ministering to everybody in the eastern part of the Roman Empire. He is saying goodbye to his ministry of his past three missionary journeys. Paul has one place on his heart. He wants to go to Spain. There in Spain, they don't speak Greek, they speak Latin. And so he's got to study up on his Latin and get ready to do that, but he's ready to go. Why did he want to go to Spain? Because they did not have the gospel. Paul's mission was to start churches and to witness to people who had never heard the gospel. He was determined not to build on anyone else's foundation. So he wanted to go to the pioneer areas. He was an apostle. He wanted to go and start churches where there were no churches. And so he would stop by, he said, on the way he'd stop by Rome, but he wouldn't stay in Rome because Rome already had Christian churches. He wanted to go now to Jerusalem. He was being compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem, and then he would go to Rome, and then he would go to Spain. But as he's being compelled to go to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit is telling him stop after stop after stop by prophets, you're going to be imprisoned. You're going to be persecuted. It's not going to be easy. And Paul says, I don't understand it. God is leading me to go to Jerusalem. Then I'm going to go to Rome. Then I'm going to go to Spain. All I know is I'm going to do the will of God. And behind me, in my wake, I'm going to leave a legacy of godly, Spirit-filled, Jesus-loving, Bible-believing, soul-winning, gospel-oriented leaders. I'm going to leave a legacy of leaders. Why are you on this earth? Why has God put you here? That's what I want to talk to you about today. Let's talk about legacy leaders. First of all, a legacy leader is a leader influencer. A legacy leader is a leader influencer. He influences other leaders. Look at verse 17. From Miletus, he sent, Paul did, to Ephesus. He called to him the elders of the church. Paul had spent three glorious, productive, miraculous years in Ephesus. And not only did many people get saved and, Many churches get planted, but many leaders were raised up at the church of Ephesus and all the churches of Asia during that time. So Paul sent for these leaders. He said, I want you to meet me in Miletus. Don and I have spent the night there, two or three nights. It is one of the most beautiful places right there on the Mediterranean Sea. And he said, I want to meet with you. And so these people came from 30 miles away and they met with Paul. Look at verse 18. When they had come down to him, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time. I was serving the Lord, notice, with all humility, with tears, and with trials. That's a great way to serve the Lord, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. Paul said, I faithfully served the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews came against me, but I kept right on telling people about Jesus. I served the Lord with a Christ-like spirit. Just like Jesus, I served with humility. Just like Jesus, I served with tears. Just like Jesus, I served among trials. And I influenced the leaders. I am a legacy leader, Paul says, because I am a leader influencer. Are you a leader influencer? Are you leading other people who will lead other people who will lead other people to love the Lord Jesus Christ? This past Wednesday night, I had the privilege of preaching at the first church where I served, First Baptist Church Milan. I was their youth pastor. Back in those days, we called ourselves youth directors, all right? And so nowadays, everybody's a pastor, you know. But anyway, I was a youth director back then, and I can remember Denzel Dukes, Brother Denzel Dukes, the pastor of that church. What a sweet man of God. Nobody really may know who he is, but I want to tell you, he's special to me. He took me in, and I was only there for about 2.5 years, but he allowed me every way in the world to grow. When he would go on a visit, a Sunday school visit, or a church visit, a soul-winning visit, he'd take me with him, and he'd show me how to lead people to the Lord. He'd show me how to make hospital visits. I went with him over and over to the hospital or to the nursing home or to the shut-ins. And then he would also take me when he would perform weddings or perform funerals, and then we'd talk about that. And then every other Sunday night, he would let me preach on Sunday night at that church. And then he allowed me to do the little radio ministry. And I was standing there in the whole auditorium. Donna would be on the front row. It was just me and Donna and Jesus. And I'm telling you, I thought the whole world was listening from Milan, Tennessee. Amen? And I just preached for 30 minutes. He let me do that for 2.5 years. And I cannot tell you what that meant to me for a man to spend that kind of time with me. I didn't know anything. Still don't know that much, but I want to tell you something. He believed in me. He believed that God was going to somehow use me, and he influenced me. He left a legacy in my life, and that's what I want to do with other people. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. I can't lead people that way. Listen, leadership is influence, and you can influence other people to be better people. God wants you to be an influencer, a legacy leader who helps other people live completely for Jesus Christ. If they follow your example, I want to ask you, will they love the Lord? Will they spend time with God in prayer? Will they read and obey the Bible? When they look at you, will they love the church more? Will they love the family of God? Will they give financially to support the work of Jesus in the local church? Will they share the gospel with lost people? Will they be kind to others, even people that are mean to you? Have they seen that in you? Will they be faithful to their families? A legacy leader, if he's anything, if she is anything, is a leader influencer. Secondly, I want you to see this. A legacy leader is a gospel sharer. Look at verse 20. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I shared the gospel with you. I gave you an example. I did it publicly, and I also did it privately. Publicly, I preached for 3 months in the Jewish synagogue. Some of them got saved. When they kicked me out, I went over and we rented the house, the philosophy house, the lecture house of Tyrannus. And you know how I ministered there. I'd preach there every day from 11 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we would dialogue with people, and God blessed, and so many people gave their hearts to Christ. I did it publicly, but then I also did it from house to house, he says in verse 20. I would go to house churches, and we would share the gospel, and we would, people would be saved, and Christians would be mentored. Oh, you remember how I shared the word of God with you, how people in public and in private repented of their sins, believed savingly in Jesus, that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the dead and received him as Lord and Savior. And if you go back to Acts chapter 19, here was the result. Acts chapter 19, verse 10 says, this took place for 2 years so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Everybody. This morning I got up and I'm reading right now. I'm about to finish the book of Revelation, and I was reading about the early churches, the churches of Asia. And I said, how did those churches get there? They got there because Paul, day after day, for 2 to 3 years, shared the gospel there in the school of Tyrannus, and he preached everywhere he went. And that's why when you open the book of Revelation and you see the church of Ephesus and the churches of Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, what is that? That's the legacy of the Apostle Paul. He left behind godly churches because he was a gospel sharer. Yesterday, Don and I went out with Jesus Loves Memphis, and we knocked on about a dozen doors and told people about Jesus. We'd go up to the door, and we had these bags, these little gift bags, and they had, it was really neat, they had the Jesus movie in there that has been seen worldwide by a billion people, and we handed it to them and said, hey, we've got a gift for you, and we want to give this to you. And it's a movie called The Jesus Movie. And we even have some popcorn in there, some microwave popcorn in there for you to eat. You know if I hand something out, it's going to have some food in it. Amen? And so we handed that to him and said, now how can we pray for you? I got tickled. One guy came out, and you could tell he was a little bit upset. I think we had awakened him. He kind of came out like that, and he said, Pastor Gaines. He's a guy I work out with, or that I've seen him over at the YMCA. So, you know, we just went out door to door, got to share the gospel twice, got to spread some seed. And all I know is the more you share the gospel, the more people get saved. So are you doing it? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you telling people about Jesus? Are you sharing your testimony with lost people? Like the guy said, once I was blind, now I can see. How are you going to argue with that? Are you telling people that Jesus is the only way to heaven? I want to say this to you. If you're not sharing the gospel with lost people, you are not a Christian leader. I don't care what else you do. If you're not telling people about Jesus, you're not the leader God wants you to be. You need to invite people to church. I carry these little cards with me everywhere I go. I hand out dozens of these on a regular basis, inviting people to church. You know, why don't you say, well, I'm not ready to invite them to Christ. Well, then invite them to church, but learn how to invite them to Christ. Don't do either or, do both and. Invite people to Christ, invite people to church, invite people to come and give their hearts to Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If you're following Jesus, you're fishing for the souls of lost people, because a legacy leader is a gospel sharer. And then, number three, a legacy leader is a task completer. Don't start something and not finish it for the Lord. Look at verse 22. And now, behold, I am bound in spirit. I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing exactly what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Ghost solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. Now, how about that? Would you like that? Would you like to have that kind of mission? God's drawing you sovereignly, supernaturally. He's drawing you to Jerusalem. And all the time he's saying, now look, it is not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. You're going to get in prison. You're going to be persecuted. So what's Paul's response to that? These famous words in verse 24. You should memorize this verse. But I do not consider myself, my life, of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's concern was not personal safety. Paul's concern in life was to testify of the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And then Paul drops a bombshell on the elders, that is the pastors of Ephesus. Look at verse 25. And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. The Lord had told Paul, this is it. This is the last time I want you to go through this area. I want you to leave the east. I want you to come to Jerusalem. Then I'm going to send you to Rome. Then on west. God said, this is the plan. But Paul reminded them of how faithfully he had served them. Look at verse 26. Therefore I testify to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men. I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. He said, I have preached all of the gospel to all of the people. What did he mean by, I am innocent of the blood of all men? He's referring to an Old Testament text. You find it in Ezekiel 3 and also in Ezekiel 33. I'll read from Ezekiel 3 very quickly. Son of man, God said to Ezekiel, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Paul said, I don't have any blood on my hands. When I get before God, I shared the gospel, all of the gospel, to everybody in that whole area. I don't have any blood on my hands. I want to ask you, do you have any blood on your hands? When you stand before God, are you going to have blood on your hands? The blood of lost people that you worked with, that you lived next door to, that you interacted with on a regular basis, and you never, ever mentioned Jesus. I want to say this to you. God has commanded every one of you to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't witness to them and they die and go to hell, their blood is on your hands. Paul said, I don't have any blood. I don't have any blood on my hands. What about your relatives? Have you prayed for them? Have you witnessed to them? Do you have blood on your hands? The Lord wants to use you. What is your purpose in life? God did not put you on this planet just so you could get a job, get married, buy a house, buy a car, have children, have grandchildren, grow older, retire, and die. There is more to life than that. That is not what life is about. Life is not about that. Life is about doing the will of God while you're doing all that and reaching people for Jesus Christ, touching their lives, being a legacy leader, a mighty prayer warrior, a soul winner, a giver. God might want you to be a Gideon and pass out New Testaments on college campuses. I'll never forget those Gideons at UT Martin standing out there, people making fun of them. But I didn't think it was funny. I saw in them something that I deeply wanted, even though I was a little bit embarrassed to say it at the time. And I'm telling you, God might want you to be a Gideon. He may want you to go on a short-term mission trip, be a disciple maker, mentoring new believers, sing in the choir, play in the orchestra, work in our next generation ministry, our college ministry, our singles ministry, our young couples ministry, our nursery, our preschool ministries. There's so much you can do. And when you do it, when you're a legacy leader, you will be a task completer. You won't just start the work, you will complete the work. Number four, a legacy leader is a flock protector. Look at verse 28. Oh, Paul loved the local church. He said, be on guard for yourselves. He's talking to pastors now. And for all the flock, among which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Be on guard. Prosecco. Turn your mind to, pay attention to, be concerned about, care for, occupy yourself with, devote yourself to the flock. Guard yourself, he says. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. Guard yourselves. Walk with the Lord. Don't let your love for Jesus wane. Whatever you do, stay pure, stay clean, cleansed as God walks with you and you walk with him. Stay close to God and clean so God can use you. And then be on guard not just for yourselves, but also for the flock. You love that flock. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He has made you overseers of the flock. He wants you to be the spiritual guardians, the directors. God has called you to be the shepherd of the flock. Poimeno, he wants you to shepherd them, to feed them, to guide them. Episkopos, overseers, shepherd, poimeno, he wants you to guide them. He wants you to guard them. He wants you to protect them, to supervise the blood-bought church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men, take care of yourself and take care of the flock of God. And then he warned them what could happen once he left them. Look at verse 29. I know that after my departure, savage wolves. You see, the people of God are sheep, and the people who come in to attack them are savage wolves, will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Do you see how vulnerable the church is? Do you see that we've got enemies on the outside? Think about all the people who hate what we do here at Bellevue Baptist Church. Think about all the people that think how foolish it is to get up and say that a Jewish man dying on a cross could have anything to do with your life in the 21st century. How foolish it is to believe that a book written by men is the word of God. How foolish it is to believe that there is a heaven and there is a hell. But I got news for you. I'd rather be a fool for Jesus Christ than to be a wise man in this world who is a fool to the things of God. Amen. Jesus Christ has called us to be faithful witnesses, and we have enemies on the outside. And then he said also from within the church, there are going to come up heretical teachers to lead you astray. Be on guard. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. Verse 31, therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Oh, Paul, you're a legacy leader. You were a flock protector. Every Christian should love the local church. Every Christian should love the flock of God. Every legacy leader needs to watch out for your own walk with the Lord, to keep it right, to keep it pure, to keep it solid, and then to watch out for the people of God as well. How do you do that? Bible intake, fervent prayer, no unconfessed, unforsaken sin in your life, staying close to Jesus, your local church. That's where the action is for God. Jesus died for the local church. I'm all for any ministry that helps out there, but listen to me. Nothing compares to your local church. Your local church is far more important to the kingdom of God than any parachurch organization or any parachurch ministry. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Jesus promised to build one thing, not a parachurch ministry, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your priority needs to be your local church, not a parachurch ministry. And I'm saying this because sometimes we blend all that together. Don and I, we give most of our time to the local church. Now, we're also involved in parachurch ministries. You know that. But we focus primarily on the local church because that's what the Bible teaches. Our best investment, whether it's our tithes or our time or our talents, is in the local church. We love Bellevue Baptist Church because Jesus died for the church. Jesus is in the church. I was reading this morning, Jesus was walking around the seven lampstands. Do you know what the lampstands are? That's the local church. They were the local churches. Jesus loves the church. Where is Jesus? I'll tell you where he is. He is in a Bible-preaching, God-worshiping, Spirit-filled, gathered-together church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a legacy leader loves the church. He is a flock protector. Number five, a legacy leader is a Bible believer. Look very quickly at verse 32. One of the greatest verses about commending somebody to read the scriptures in the Word. Look at verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I commend you to God. I give you over to God. I commit you to God. Paul had cared for the Ephesians. Now he is committing them to Almighty God. He's giving them over to the word of God's grace. It would build them up. It would give them an inheritance, an eternal reward among all the other Christians who were set apart and sanctified for Christ. God's word would prevent those leaders from going astray. God's word would be all that they needed to share with the sheep, to feed them the word of God. God's word had brought them salvation. Now God's word would be sufficient to give them sanctification, making them more and more like Jesus. How does God look at the word of God and a believer? Most of you know we just had another grandbaby. And little Ainsley loves milk. She just loves milk. Why? She's a baby. And she yearns for milk. She loves milk. That's the way you're supposed to be toward the Word of God. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:2. In fact, read it with me off the screen. Would you? Everybody read it so we'll all be on the same translation. Here we go. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in salvation. In respect to salvation. When you wake up, when a baby wakes up, baby wants to be fed. When you wake up, you ought to desire, the first thing you ought to desire is to feed upon the Word of God. Say, Lord, I just want to wake up. I want to get in your Word. I need the milk of your Word. I need the nourishment of your Word. Dr. Rogers used to say, no Bible, no breakfast. Now, that may be a little hard for some of y'all. You say, I got to have my coffee, Brother Steve. I got to have my coffee. Well, go get some coffee, but leave the sausage alone. Amen? And get in the Word. Get in the Word. Go to bed on time. Get up on time. Get in the Word and get the Word in you. There's something about the Word of God in the morning. If you don't believe the Bible, you cannot commend people to God and to the Word of His grace. You don't believe it's going to build them up and give them the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I'm telling you, a legacy leader has to be a Bible believer. Number six, a legacy leader is a diligent worker. You can't be lazy and be a leader. Look at verse 33. I have coveted no one's silver, gold, or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. Paul didn't care about worldly things. He was like John the Baptist. John the Baptist had one set of clothes. He had a coat, a garment made out of leather, and made out of camel's hair, and a leather belt. I was telling the guys this last Thursday morning, men of Memphis, that'd be kind of nice. Wake up in the morning, what am I going to wear today? Oh, I think I'll wear the leather coat. Don't have to worry about it. Just simple. When Jesus died, what did he own? He owned one pair of clothes. That's all he owned. We're so wrapped up in things. We spend time shopping for things that we don't need, we can't afford. We're just made that way. We got to have more stuff. Got to have more stuff. It's Christmas time. We got to just dump all this stuff on our kids and our grandkids. We just got to buy, buy, buy. Got to have more, more, more. I can't get my clothes in my closet now as it is, but I got to have more. I got to have more. These people didn't know anything about that. Paul didn't live that way. Paul said, that's not who I am. I don't covet silver, gold, or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men of those who were with me. Paul worked. He worked. He got up at 6 o'clock every morning, and he worked in the leather shop, the tent-making shop, from 6 when he was at Ephesus until 11. And then from 11 to 4, he preached the gospel. And then from 4 to 6, he went back to the leather shop. No wonder. God used his sweat rags to heal people and cast out demons. Acts 19, 11, and 12. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul so that the handkerchiefs, that is the sweat rags from where he had worked so hard, and the aprons where he had worked so hard, were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits shrieked and went out. God loves sweat from his people who do honest work. And nowadays, we're scared to death of work. Our nation doesn't want to work. We wonder why so many factories and businesses have gone to other countries. I'll tell you why. Because we have to have all this pay and all these perks and everything else. And a lot of people out in the world just want to eat. Just want to eat. I want to say this to you. If we would work the way we ought to work, God would use it as a Christian witness for the glory of Jesus Christ. Verse 35, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And then he says, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. And this phrase is not found in the gospel. It's something Jesus said, though, that Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You say, well, brother, if it's not in the gospel, how do we know that's really true? You know, John said this in John 21, 25. There are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that could be written. The gospel writers did not write down everything that Jesus said or did. So here you have a statement. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And the reason he had something to give is because he was a diligent worker. I want to say this to you, Christian. If you are physically, mentally able to work, you should work. If you are not physically and mentally capable, then you deserve help. I want to say this as simply as I know how. But if you are healthy enough to work, and you are mentally capable and physically capable of working, but you refuse to do so because you're lazy, listen to me, the government doesn't owe you anything and the church doesn't owe you anything. You need to go to work. You need to go to work. Laziness and slothfulness are sins. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, attend to your own business. Anybody ever told you to mind your own business? They're just quoting scripture. Don't get mad at them. And work with your hands just as we commanded you. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 and following. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. If you can work and you won't, don't feed any. Don't listen. If somebody is able to work, but they just won't do it because they're lazy, don't give them anything. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because you're helping them to sin. You're helping them to sin. A lazy Christian should be a contradiction of terms. A legacy leader is a diligent worker. Two more. A legacy leader is a prayer warrior. Look at verse 36. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. There was nothing else to say. except to talk with God. He had prayed with him so many times before. Prayer for Paul, he was no stranger to prayer. It was not his last resort. It was always his first option. So he just said, let's just pray one more time. You know, we're going to be in heaven one of these days together. Let's just talk to the Lord one more time. And they knelt down together and they prayed. Oh, for more Christian leaders that would believe in the power of prayer. I love, as you know, the ministry of Pastor Charles Spurgeon. He's preached in the 1800s to 6,000 people every week for almost 40 years. He was known as the Prince of Preachers, but he was also a great man of prayer. By the way, those always go together, prayer and preaching always. If you're a great preacher, you're also a great prayer warrior. You can't speak greatly for God if you don't speak often with God. Spurgeon had many quotes about prayer. I'll give you one. Oh, yes, the prayer meeting is the place to meet with the Holy Ghost. This is the way to get His mighty power. If we would have God, we must meet in greater numbers. We must pray with greater fervency. We must watch with greater earnestness and believe with firmer steadfastness. The prayer meeting, the prayer meeting is the appointed place for the reception of power. Paul said this about prayer in Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. He said this about prayer in Colossians 4:2. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. If you won't talk to Jesus, He won't let you lead His people. Your walk with Jesus is only as healthy as your prayer life. Be a legacy leader. That what you want to be? Then you're going to have to be a prayer warrior. And there's one more thing. Finally, a legacy leader is a legacy lever. When you lead for legacy, God will see to it that you'll leave behind a legacy. Look at verse 37. And they began to weep aloud, and they embraced Paul, and they repeatedly kissed him. I don't have to describe that to you. You see what's going on. There's genuine love here. It's not just some artificial relationship. Grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, they would never see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship. Can you imagine what this was like? Paul, they laid your sweat rag on me, and I'd never walked, and I started walking again. Paul, you prayed for my mother, and she was healed. Paul, you led my son to Jesus Christ. Paul, you helped my wife and I get back together, and we stop being immoral, and we started living for the Lord. Paul, you helped change our life. You gave us the gospel. Paul, Paul, can you see the love? Can you see the legacy? Do you not see that that's greater than trying to amass a lot of material things on this earth? Do you not see that the legacy you need to leave and that I need to leave is not financial? It's not just more things, bigger houses, but it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's pouring into people's lives spiritually. If you don't do that, you're wasting your life. Oh God, give us legacy leaders who will be legacy leavers. Moses left behind Joshua. Elijah left behind Elisha. Paul left behind Timothy, Silvanus or Silas, and so many others. Peter left behind Mark, and many others. Who are you leaving behind to be a champion for Jesus Christ? Who will win souls because of your legacy? Who will be a life group leader or a deacon because of your legacy? Who will be called to preach or called to be a missionary because of your legacy? Who will be a great godly man or a great godly woman to mentor their families for Jesus because you left them that legacy? Who are you pouring into? Who are you praying for? Who are you raising up? What is in the wake of your life? Business? God's kingdom is your business. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm not telling you all to quit your jobs, but I am telling you your main job is in whatever you do to do everything for the glory of Jesus Christ and to leave behind a legacy so that when you die, people look and say, I love Jesus more because of that person and what they poured into my life. Oh, I'm asking you today, don't waste your life. God wants you to be a legacy leader. God wants you to help other people live for Jesus Christ. And one of these days when we all get to heaven, we're all going to know whatever we give up for this world to focus on the kingdom, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you raise up godly, spirit-filled, legacy leaders here at Bellevue Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen.